Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Good morning, all. Welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host, I'm Jen Coffendauffer. All right. I got to tell you, it has been a planes, trains, and automobiles. How many days now? 5-6 days, all flights canceled on my connection. So got stuck, ended up late last night getting a hotel room. Was not going to sleep on the floor of the airport, obviously. So here I am, got a late checkout, hanging out with you all here to discuss the Nancy Guthrie case. So I appreciate you all being here today and being here with us to discuss the case. So I have a few promises that I left out there, right? I've got a couple of reenactment promises that I still haven't done. And then I also promised to follow up on all the different family members, if you will, or former family members of the Guthrie family. We're just deep dived every single one of them. We've done Tommaso, we've done Annie, we've deep dived, of course, Nancy herself, Savannah, and we are deep diving today, Mark Orchard. Now, you might wonder why. Why do we need to deep dive a ex-husband of Savannah? And I think if we learned anything from true crime, sorry, let me get this up on the stage, that is that you can't not consider anyone, right? You have to consider everyone. And that's what law enforcement does behind the scenes. And even though I know things seem slow in this case, for me, they don't seem slow. And I say that because I'm really not thinking about this case from a public point of view. I'm really thinking about this case as a behind the curtain point of view. And that's how I think of all cases. And I think why for me, this case is so extremely interesting to me from the standpoint of we are on day, I believe, 114. And yet we still do not know where Nancy is. We still don't know who sent the ransom notes. We still don't have a Bitcoin address person identified. We still don't have any video surveillance of any videos that has at least been made known to the public. And I believe they would, by the way, if they had a particular video that they could hone in on from surveillance footage. We still have a porch guy not identified. We're still not seeing Porch Guy's picture everywhere on any billboards or any flyers that the FBI or local law enforcement has put out. Basically, we're still no information yet from the labs other than they're working on it. Five labs are involved, according to ABC News. We know the FBI got the information, the evidence from the Pima County lab after about 80 days or so. It finally went up to Quantico. But that's where we're at. It seems like from the outside we're at a stalemate, but I can assure you that behind the scenes, everything is still being investigated fervently. And one of the areas, at least for sure early on, we talked about how family would be the first that would be investigated. All the individuals that are the closest to Nancy, you always start with the very inner circle. And beyond that, you start with the people who saw her last. Those are the first people you're going to look at, which would be Annie and Tommaso, to say, hey, let's take a look. Let's get all their information. That's why you saw ICAC there. They are the best at going into a home and quickly getting the digital information forensically that they need to evaluate. So that was done post haste, because remember, they were looking for Nancy, especially early on. They were looking for her and they wanted to know, could she still be alive? They were looking to find Nancy. And of course, I think at this stage of the investigation, and in fact, I would argue that the minute he decided to pull all searchers, which I still, that's just an area I'll never agree about. I'm not trying to armchair quarterback. I'm trying to say I don't agree with the decision, period, end of story. You don't pull the searchers within 48 hours of a missing person. You keep them out there for typically at least a week or so that the Sahara Desert was there. And then when you have, you can no longer give those resources from your department, what you do is you ask for help from agencies like EcuSearch and the Cajun Navy and Madres Buscadoras, anyone who will put boots on the ground. You have organized with literally one or two deputies that are sort of in charge of understanding the grids that will be searched, handing out gloves, making sure they have a point contact if they do find anything that needs to be collected. That's how you organized the search after the official search. None of that was done. I will never understand that. Like I said, the only thing that ever made sense at the time, and I know I came out and very vocally said that, is if law enforcement knows who it is or knows where she is. That's the only reason that you say we're not going to search is because you know, as an example, she's in Mexico, or you know, as an example, that some particular person did it and you're just trying to make the case against them. I'm not saying that's the case here. I'm just saying that is in my experience when you pull everything back. Even then, unless you know where she is, you don't pull it back. Even if you know who the person is, you think the person is responsible, you keep your search assets out there. That's just something I'll always disagree on. So maybe I'm wrong, maybe he was right. But we're gonna talk today about Mark Orchard. Now, this is a picture in and around the time that Mark Orchard and Savannah Guthrie would have met. And when you look at the Tepe case, does everybody remember the Tepe case, the doctor that was in Ohio? And he, dentist, still a doctor, and his wife were brutally slain in their sleep just outside the doors of their young children. And so anyway, they're the husband of Mo Tepe, that was what she liked to be called. The husband of Mo Tepe, ex-husband of Mo Tepe, ended up being arrested for that crime. He had essentially harbored this horrible retribution type grudge against her for years and years. And even though he became a doctor in his own right, a physician, had a job, held medical licenses in multiple states. By all accounts, he was a brilliant man. He just never, ever could get over the fact that she left him. And so terribly and tragically, he made the decision to go back and to murder not only her, but her husband. As they laid in their bed. What a coward. Again, he's cloaked in the presumption of innocence, but he's seen on surveillance camera. They have footage regarding his vehicle because he drove hours to commit the crime. So nevertheless, essentially, it is a situation where you always want to look at the exes. Anytime somebody dies that's related to individuals that are divorced, you first looked at the individuals in the closest circle, and then you go out from there. We haven't even ever really talked about any of Nancy's closest friends. I would love to do a show on that. I'll be working on that behind the scenes. But for today, I'm going to keep this promise to you, and we're going to at least talk about Mark Orchard. He's 54 years old. How did they meet? They met actually at the Michael Jackson trial in 2005. Now, remember, that was in the summer of 2005. And Savannah Guthrie, for those of you who might not know, she actually worked at Court TV. So she was a Court TV correspondent. I don't know if many of you know that. Kind of an interesting subnote. At the time, Mark Orchard was working for the BBC. So out of London, he was educated in London. Let me go through a little bit about Mark Orchard and his bona fides. Who he is, what he's about. I tell you, he's very, very prominent in his industry from what I can ascertain. So currently, he's the senior producer for Sinclair's nationally syndicated Sunday morning current affairs program, Full Measure with Charl Atkinson. So he's definitely always has been more or not more of, he is a behind the scenes producer. So very much behind the scenes producing different shows that we'll talk about a little bit. He says, I'm always looking for interesting stories about the federal government, federal spending, diplomacy, and defense. I've been lucky enough to have worked with some of the best broadcast journalists in the business. I trained in London at ITN and then spent about a decade overseas with the BBC before deciding to settle in the United States. I was part of the launch teams at both Al Jazeera English and Al Jazeera America, and very proud of all we've achieved with those networks. So he's been with this since 2016. With his current employment, Sinclair's. So this is a behind the scenes guy, and he's produced a lot. I'm going to continue. I want to go through basically his background. He's got a lot of experience. He's bounced around a little bit, but he's been a senior producer now for more than 9 years. So very stable in his current employment. Prior to that, he was a freelance journalist in 2016, lived in Baltimore. This was only for about 5 months. Prior to that, he was executive producer at Al Jazeera America 2013-2016 for about 3 years. The reason I bring up Al Jazeera, or I want to make a comment about Al Jazeera, I look to Al Jazeera. I'd like to take a look at these different publications and media outlets, and everybody thinks, Al Jazeera, why would you look at that? And I sometimes even quote them. And in fact, on my Twitter now, I think I'm going to do a better job or a different job, kind of how I started out. I would always say something, and then I would reference the source to it. Then I started just saying something, and I had the sources, because obviously when I say sources, not secret sources, just publications or different areas in the media that I would find that news, that I had to back up in a factual nature where that information came from. I haven't been doing that much lately. It's a lot more work, actually, and then it causes a lot more feeds, if you will, right? I have to put on the post that I got it from and put that feed in there. And I think I'm going to start doing that a little bit more, just because I want everybody to know where the information comes from. I always just think, well, people will look themselves and they don't necessarily want to look themselves by just giving out that information. So I'm always going to try to at least for sure on the Twitter side, go back to that a little bit more. From after 2013, prior, so 2006 to 2013, that's when he helped launch the Al Jazeera, which is really cool. I mean, I think anytime you can be at the groundwork of getting something going, it's pretty interesting. Prior to that, and these are the important years, when he met Savannah, and again, this is Mark Orchard. This is Savannah Guthrie's ex-husband. He was a senior field producer at the BBC. And again, that's how they met. He was covering in California the very high profile Michael Jackson trial for committing all of these crimes against children, molestation charges, blah, blah, blah. And they were covering that. Again, Savannah was covering it for Court TV. And the Mark Orchard was covering it for the BBC. So very interesting. They met, and I, from what I can tell, and this is why I'm going to give you my reason. And by the way, I want to thank you so much. I'm going to say Kay Hunk for the, that's so generous of you. Thank you very much. And they might have a target in sight. They certainly could. And if they do, then that would explain why they themselves are deciding not to put up Portuguy's face on their billboards that they already have up that show Nancy Guthrie, which in my opinion are useless billboards because Nancy Guthrie is not going to be running around and be able to be seen. It's going to be Portuguy, and that's who they really need. But nevertheless, that would explain a lot if they have somebody in sights and they're just working on building up that case. The only thing that concerns me about that is we haven't seen any video footage of any vehicles that normally they would want to get the public's help with. Again, there's a lot of things here that I'm at a loss for in terms of what we are seeing. For an example, why aren't we seeing the enhanced photos of Portuguy? Why aren't we seeing that? I know they exist because that's the first thing I always did whenever I had a photo of an individual or a vehicle, send it off to Quantico and let the video people work their magic, change the lighting, get everything crisp and clear. And all of a sudden, voila, I have something where I can see license plates. I could see more pronounced features on the person. That's been done. I will bet everything I own that has been done. And that's a big bet for me to make, but that's what they're going to do. They're going to send it back for enhancement. Why haven't we seen that? I don't know. Why haven't we seen any vehicle to help so the public can help, like what happened in Idaho, where we see a white car racing across. So, you know, why isn't Portuguy's face all over the place? I'm at a loss for that. And like I said, unless they have the bead on somebody they think committed this and they're just honing in on that case, trying to put the case together. Let me see. Let me get through him. And then prior to that, so again, a very accomplished career, 92 to 96, he was with the IT News, ITN, and he was a producer, and that was in London. Very interesting. He went to the University of London. He received he graduated with honors in philosophy. I just wanted to give you his bio, if you will. And when they met in the summer, it apparently was quite a whirlwind romance. Let me tell you what I based this on. They were married in December, the year they met. And actually, doing a little bit deep dive, Mark Orchard was married prior to Savannah Guthrie. I'll put a picture of her up here. It struck me as to how much they look alike. I mean, it really is interesting. And I want to really thank Bias Bevs Kankles. What a name. I love the picture too, for becoming a member. Thank you very much. Again, just not to digress too much off of this topic, but I want to say we're a fact-based channel. Anything you hear on here, unless I otherwise indicate, is going to be a fact that it exists either in the media, something we've seen with our own eyes, something along this line. And again, what we're talking about today is I promised I would go through each and every family member of the Guthries and in-laws, whether they be former or current. And so we are talking about today, Mr. Mark Orchard, who was married to Savannah Guthrie prior to her current marriage. So we're discussing that. Again, I talked about the Tepe case where an ex actually harbored a long, long hatred for his ex-wife and ended up murdering both her and her husband as they lay asleep in bed in Ohio. So again, just going through what the FBI would have done, I believe this would have been done much earlier. But while we have a little bit of quiet time in the media, I think it's really interesting to go back, and I've gone through everybody. I've talked about Savannah, I've talked about Nancy. We've gone through Tommaso, talked about Annie, gone through Cameron. I've gotten the full bio of them and what they're about, what they've been doing. And so that's what the FBI does behind the scenes. They're going to look at every inch of these people early on. So nevertheless, because we have some downtime and we are finally here, and I promised I would do this, we're just doing a deep dive into Mark Orchard. And again, Mark Orchard was previously married. This was his ex-wife before, and I say before, might have been a little bit of overlap, and Korblut. Now, she's a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist. She is an actress. She is and was a very, very accomplished journalist in her own right. So I thought that that was interesting because, of course, you might imagine that Mr. Orchard, being in this industry and being such a prominent producer, would himself find individuals with that type of a background of being very appealing. I'm going to go a little bit more into her background. Not only a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist, she was the director, and I found this very interesting, of strategic communications regarding Facebook. Isn't that interesting how these different journalists get into different areas? She was the deputy national editor for Washington Post. She authored a book, multiple books, notably, and I remember this book, The Cracked Ceiling, about Hillary Clinton. Certainly, politically speaking, Mark Orchard is very much on the Democratic left type side. Did I put Savannah's picture up? Oh my gosh, I'm looking at that. Wait one second. Let me make sure. I've got Savannah right here. And she's just one of the most, when I talk about Ann Korblut, one of the most accomplished people in the industry. Again, we're talking about Savannah Guthrie's ex-husband, Mark Orchard. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that he was married. It's unclear whether there was a separation. I read a lot of articles about this. There was a person that came out from the BBC and, you know, had sort of negative things to say regarding this relationship with Savannah, how it all started. But let's just stay on point with the fact that they met in June of 2005. They fell in love, apparently, because they married in December. And then they filed for divorce in 2009. So it wasn't a whirlwind marriage by any degree, in my opinion. I mean, that's years of marriage, 6, 7, 8, you know, about 3+ years. So certainly his choice in women with Ms. Korblut, as well as Savannah Guthrie, extremely accomplished women. I mean, just very, very accomplished women. And I just believe, for whatever happened, I wanted to tell you what Savannah's viewpoint is on what happened, because I think this is important to show how different the Tepe case was in terms of the dissolution of the marriage and doing something regarding and really looking at, was there an issue in the dissolution of the marriage? In other words, is Mark Orchard scorned? Does he hate Savannah Guthrie? Has he moved on What is his life like now? Right? You have to look at that. The Bureau looked at that. Could he have possibly been a suspect? And I'm sure they found not just what I found, because mine is from a scrub of everything I could find, but they're going to find so much more because they have subpoena power and they have the power to go and interview him and all of that. But at least we've got some sort of a picture of him. And I want to read what Savannah wrote. Now, remember, Savannah has a book. Well, she has multiple books. But Savannah, this is one area that Savannah Guthrie will not talk about. She doesn't want to talk about it. And I don't blame her. It's her decision what she wants to disclose on her personal life. And this was not something that she wanted to expose. This is what one person wrote about the relationship. This was from the BBC, somebody who worked apparently with Mr. Orchard. The poor guy was totally smitten by Savannah. He gave up his family for her. She turned his life upside down. This is from a BBC source, so who purportedly worked with Mark Orchard and knew him well. Now, I don't know if this is true or accurate. All I can report is that this was publicized and he wrote this, or he said this. Remember, you guys know my feelings on sources. You all know my feelings on sources. So I always say, whenever you see from a source, even though sometimes they can be good and accurate, you have to just caveat all of that with if that's true. But nevertheless, she talks about, or this source talks about, how quickly they fell in love. I think the timeline may support a little bit of that. And then when you look at them getting married in June 2005 meeting in 2005, and then being married after that in December of that year, this was pretty much a whirlwind romance, right? I mean, when I say whirlwind, it's something that happened pretty quickly. I want to put a picture of him back up on the stage because he's who we're talking about. This is the exact quote from Savannah Guthrie about when she was interviewed. She was interviewed on this on a show with Monica Lewinsky on a podcast. And she said this, and I wanted to get that clip to bring up, but I just did not have the time to get the clip cut and get it up here for y'all. But I've got the quote. It was horrible. She's talking not about him. She's talking about the divorce. It was horrible. It was sad. It broke my heart. Not blaming anyone. I don't want to get into it. And, you know, she specifically said, I'm not going to address this in any of her writings or anything written about her. So I think it's very important to realize here that this was really tough on her, this divorce. And she went on to say, by the way, I want to get the quote if I can. Here we go. When I was 36, this is a quote from Savannah. When I was 36, I got divorced. I wasn't married long, so 3 to 4 years. This was a huge disappointment. I was pretty sure that I had lost the opportunity to have kids and more or less ruined my life. All I ever really wanted was to fall in love, be a mom, and have a family. I don't know if it's acceptable to admit this these days. But that's kind of how I was. I wanted to do something important. So I thought that these quotes were important to realize, at least from my view, this was not her breaking up and him being scorned. So I think that is important here, because I think obviously when they interviewed the ex-husband and looked at the witnesses and the communication between the Tepe husband and, or I'm sorry, Mo Tepe's ex-husband and her, it was clear. That's why the dental firm immediately, instead of just calling around, they called 911 because they had the knowledge that there were issues, that she was afraid and concerned, Mo Tepe. And the genesis of that concern was this ex-husband that could just not let her go and had a bead on her.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Throughout the time they weren't. Or they weren't together throughout the time they were divorced. And then even when she was married and he went and killed her, that is not at all the vibe here. This is an individual, by the way, if you want to go look at him on X, I did pull up his X account. He really doesn't post. He does a lot of retweeting, but you get a flavor for what he's about. Did a lot of work on other journalists who were imprisoned abroad. So very much involved with that. Very much talked about, for instance, the Pope. This was years ago, though, about the Pope's position on abortion and on gays and how that needed to be looked at from a more biblical standpoint. In other words, an understanding standpoint. He did a story on about how African-American babies have a very high rate of death. So certainly seemed to be a supporter of Obama, a liberal, from what I could glean in his writings. So in other words, he and Nancy, he and Savannah, he and his former wife, Miss Anna Kornblut, we're all on the same page, you know, so there was nothing political there. In fact, there's nothing here that I could find that has any red flags to Mr. Orchard wanting anything bad to happen to Savannah or having any sort of issue with Savannah and just moving on. And again, it seemed to me that the person who, because there's always one, it's typically not that both, you know, get along at the end of a relationship, at the end of a marriage. It's clear to me that Savannah was the one that really suffered hurt. You can imagine 36 years old, you know, probably not falling far from the tree of her mother, right? Nancy Guthrie, married for years, even after her husband died in a tragic heart attack, I should say, a medical situation abroad in Mexico, in Sinaloa, Mexico. She never remarried. Now, I don't know if she had any love interests along the way, but never remarried, lived out her days as a widower, or as a widow, I should say, and stayed in their same house, the same house that they had had together. So I just think that a lot of times when you come from family upbringing like that, you want a very safe and secure and domestic type situation. It's not only what I think, it's what Savannah said, right? I read to you that that was her hope and her dream. Again, I'll put a picture of him up. Very handsome guy. This was him, though, back in the day, I think in around 2005, when they met at the Michael Jackson trial. So, again, I just wanted to follow through with, of course, anytime I tell y'all I'm going to do a show on something, it's going to happen if it's at all within my power. And this was within my power to do a deep dive on this. So this was her ex-husband, Mark Orchard. They were married from about December of 2005. They didn't divorce until 2009. Savannah was 36. It was heart-wrenching for her. As she describes, in fact, she says she doesn't even want to talk about it. It left her heartbroken and thinking she would be too old, right? At 36, you're thinking, oh my gosh, my biological clock is ticking down. And will I be able to have a child in my late 30s and early to mid 40s, which she did. She has two children. They are 8 and 10, I believe, right now. I won't say their names, although we've discussed them before. I mean, she openly discusses them. But nevertheless, she has two beautiful children, is married. We've done a deep dive now on all of the Guthries. All of the Guthries, all of the Guthrie spouses, and the exes now. So now you have, if you want a flavor for the inner circle, everything there is to know about the inner circle. I shouldn't say everything. Everything that the deep dive we talked about in an hour or so on each of these shows, we deep dived it all. And I'll continue to look. And again, as things pop up, anytime there's new information, I like to put that out there. I recently saw I'm having the team dig more and more on Tommaso, because there's a lot out there about student feedback concerning him and why many people, Tommaso Cioni is their favorite teacher. And I posted another video of him cooking and things like that. I think it's always important to get a feel. Savannah is easy to get a feel for because she lays herself out there all the time on her show, and it's very personal. Those morning shows aren't like normal anchoring shows. You know, in other words, you're never going to really get to, even though he's got a lot of personality, you're not really going to ever get to really know Chris Cuomo from his show, because his show is not about Chris Cuomo. It's about others. In the Today Show and other morning shows are about the hosts and about others. You know, they want you to fall in love with them. They want to be in your living room. They want you to feel like they're your friends, and so that you will want to wake up with them every morning. Kind of like really being a creator. I want you all to know me. I want to feel, or to be like, there's sort of a friendship or a relationship as we communicate. I want to respect all your opinions and your thoughts, and that's what we do on this channel. So I'm going to take a look at some right now. First of all, I want to thank the hunk again. I'm just going to call you the hunk. In long-running cases like this, is it common for agencies to avoid naming suspects until their confident charges can be supported in court? What a great question, and 100%. I cannot think of one case when I was an agent, and I'm thinking quickly now, but I just really can't think of a case where, when we had suspects, we would let that be known. No. You have to keep everything close and tight to the vest. That, in part, is what has concerned me about all the source information in this case. I believe a lot of the source information has been wrong. Not I believe. I mean, one, I proved it on a show, and thankfully right after that, within hours, they backtracked and came back and said, sorry, I misunderstood. And that's good. You know, I really appreciate it, because, you know, anybody in media that's putting a lot of information out there, I think I looked and somebody told me I've done over 55,000 tweets. 55,000 tweets, but I guess they're counting everything. Like, in other words, if I respond, if I say yes, if I say hi, you know, that counts. So not tweets per se, but any responses. And I thought, wow, is there enough hours in the day to do that? But nevertheless, you're going to make mistakes. You just are. And the other thing is, sometimes the sources that you're quoting from, the news source that you're quoting from, they make a mistake. I saw a news source report most recently, and I want to talk about a couple of other things as well, reporting on the recent shooting that happened at the corner of, I think it was 17th in Pennsylvania, if my memory serves me correct, this weekend. This was a big deal. It was Saturday night. I remember I was at a wedding. I got through the wedding, but during the reception, it was breaking news. So broke out to do about four of those hits. But nevertheless, that's a situation that was really rapid and fluid. And anytime you have that, you're going to have reporting that comes in. And then as more information shoots in, you're going to have to update. So you might say three dead, and then it ends up being five. Or it might be originally reported three dead, but then they're not. I'll tell you where I saw this, and this is why I'm so hesitant to say it. I've kind of learned a little bit, but that isn't to say we still don't make mistakes. Do you remember when they said the shooter in the White House correspondence shooting was dead? Some networks were reporting that, because they saw him shot and they saw him go down, and then the reporters, right? It was full of reporters. But he didn't die. He wasn't dead. And I really appreciated Natasha Zuvez. Her coverage on that was just absolutely unbelievable. I don't know how she does it. She keeps all these different people, everything from, you know, experts coming on. Then she has the correspondents, different correspondents that might have seen different things to different people that were there in the room. I don't know how she does it. The really good ones like her can just keep it a constant flow of information from what's happening on the ground, and then have the expert consultant come in and say, oh, this is what that could mean. This is what this likely means. For instance, I remember one of the big things in that case was the person had their shirt off, the shooter. And everybody was like, oh, did he come in with a shirt off? And I said, absolutely not. I know from treating, being a tactical medic, that's the first thing we do. The first thing we do is take off their clothing where they might be injured, because we want to see, is there any gunshot wounds? You have to visually inspect where somebody's hurt. In his case, you know, he just got slammed to the floor and, you know, roughed up a little bit in the process of getting him under control. But nevertheless, that's why his shirt was off. So she was able to say, here's a picture from our cameraman. We know there was a medic there. We could see the bag. Why is his shirt off? Did he come in there without his shirt, Jen? And from tactical experience, you know, it's an easy answer. So nevertheless, it was reported in this White House shooting, there were three shots fired. We know we could hear rapid fire, about 25 to 30 shots. I tried to count them all. If you've watched any of the reporting coverage, you can hear it all in the background and try to count for yourself. And that's the rapid fire, obviously, of Secret Service then descending upon with their M4 rifles on this guy with this little handgun. He's, you know, after shooting three rounds, believe me, I 100% support what Secret Service did. But what I am saying is it was reported wrong. And I actually saw a report of it by a news anchor listening to it, that the person who was the bystander was deceased. I did not report that, though, on Twitter or on X. And I'll tell you the reason I didn't was because I needed to find a second source that said that, to corroborate it, a second media source. I never found that. So I just stayed out of it. I said, he's been shot. We know he's hospitalized. We know he was in serious condition, critical, in fact. That all was widely reported. So all I'm trying to say is a lot of times things can get reported and they're absolutely accurate when they're reported, or they're inaccurate and the media made a mistake. So just have to, me, if I can't find two sources that are very reliable, such as a prominent network source, a prominent magazine source, I'm typically not going to report it, especially something that big. What I have said, though, in that case is I think it is very likely, more likely than not, that the bystander was going to be hit with a round from Secret Service. And I say that because the field of fire for the individual who shot was aimed at the White House, at their security, not backwards toward the mall area toward the street area. That's what we called it when we were there, kind of the huge National Mall, where civilians would have been. Now, that doesn't mean that he couldn't have turned and one of his bullets. We're going to find out. I don't think that that has made the news yet. I don't think they have said, but they'll easily be able to know because his rounds are going to be handgun rounds and the rounds from the shooters are going to be either M4 rifle rounds. Well, that's what they're going to be. They're going to be M4 rifle rounds or possibly sniper rounds. And they could have even gone through the person and then struck somebody. We saw that, of course, happen in Ruby Ridge and other cases. It happens. So we're waiting to hear on that. I think that that's going to be very concerning. But I just wanted to mention what happened at the White House because I think I would be remiss not to mention that really that is the third instance of, no, I'm sorry. Let's see. We're at four. That's the fourth, and I wouldn't call it a legitimate assassination attempt. If he would have lived, I think they would have charged him with that because I think that somewhere in the deep crevices of his mind could have been the intent. But I truly believe this was quite a suicide by cop situation. He went up there knowing there is no way in heck he could survive it. This individual was very well known by law enforcement and the Secret Service. In fact, it was a stay away order against him because of issues. So obviously mentally, probably not very sound of mind in terms of his decision making on Saturday. So anyway, I'm going to continue my prayers for the civilian, though, that was struck, that never should have been struck. And we will await to see more on that and just pray that he survives. So that was one thing. Oh, I wanted to wish everyone a very blessed Memorial Day. This is a holiday, and I so appreciate each of you being here with us on your Memorial Day. I was reading, and I don't know if you know this, and I found this to be very interesting, that the first Memorial Day was clear back, I think, on May 1st, 1865. And it was actually begun by slaves that had been freed and the Union soldiers that had died in part for helping freed them were buried in graves in a graveside, if you even want to call it that, in a prison camp. So, right, thrown aside. And they were properly given a Christian burial, if you will. They were dug up if they were underground, and they were given a burial. There was a parade. And basically, it was a celebration of the Union soldiers in large part by the slaves that had been freed in large part. I think there were about, if I remember right, 10,000 at the gathering, at the first Memorial Day gathering. So I just wanted to give everybody a little bit of a historical context of how it all started. How did Memorial Day start? And I thought that was really, really beautiful to hear about that. Again, today's show was about Nancy Guthrie and just exploring kind of the backgrounds and the different individuals who were or are in the Guthrie family. I said I would do that. We finished that up with today was the last one. This is the ex-husband of Savannah Guthrie. And again, there's absolutely no information whatsoever that he would have been involved with this. But I wanted to explore it because people have asked everybody since they have seen the Tepe case. They know that sometimes exes harbor. Oh, thanks, Karen. Thank you so much. Harbor grudges. Yeah, I tell you, I want to keep up with doing a show every day. I think it's such an important part of being our true crime community. And so I think you guys have seen me in multiple hotel rooms. Let's see, I've been in my brother's house. I've been in, I think, a couple of states. So I can't wait, hopefully, to get home tomorrow. All the flights are all backed up on this connection and everything was canceled. So I was just lucky to get a hotel room and make some lemonade out of lemons. That's what you got to do. So appreciate all of you so very much. Let's see. Oh, for those of you who are $3.99 members or more, on August 1st, we are having, I'm just going to draw a name randomly and send a package of some FBI memorabilia that I personally have and or have collected. So I'm really excited to do that as something kind of a personal give back, really to just say thank you. Because I really appreciate everyone who is a member here. And again, I'm just so far behind. I have some, I don't know if you want to call it swag, but I have pens that say cussing and discussing, break the case, I think, on the sides. And I need to get that up and going. There'll be a different member price outside of just the regular price, but it's a good pen with a stylist and things like that, you know, so you can use it on your phone backwards. And so I thought that would be good because I know some people take notes. I'm a crazy note taker. I have probably about 10 to 12 of these notebooks that I journal the information I read. So I have, you know, the sources where I got it from before I say it. And again, when I say sources, I mean the news outlet sources. But nevertheless, I want to thank everybody who has given their life for our country. And hoping you guys like the pen. We did them in yellow for Nancy Guthrie. They came out kind of a mustard yellow, and then they have white writing, and the writing is not very visible, so we're having them redone in black. So it's just taking a little while, and I really want to do a shirt that I think that would be so funny to have a shirt that on one sleeve says wackadoodles, and on the other side says, oh my gosh, what does Robin Drink call them? Nutters. I just thought that would be funny. Look, if you don't have a sense of humor in this business, you're in big trouble because what we discuss is so sad and so tragic. And so it's always important, I think, to definitely have a sense of humor. So I think I might do the Nutters and Wackadoodles and just have it on the sleeve. And it'll be a good piece for people to discuss and say, what do you mean by Nutter? What is that? Yeah, I love this. Nutters is so British. Everyone, I want to thank you for being here today. This show, again, was about Nancy Guthrie. This is Savannah, her daughter. And I just want to thank each of you for your time. Have a blessed Memorial Day. I hope you're able to go back and look at all the other sessions we did on deep dives on each of the family members in case you have any questions there. And again, thank you for this wonderful chat. I love how you all intersect with each other. So cool. Until next time, may justice be served for the Guthrie family and for the families of all the missing.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.